Hey, we're going to talk about your Hanukkah bush, so everyone got to keep their kids' earmuffs on.
We are going to talk about my Hanukkah bush, and you don't know whether it's that bush or the other bush, because there is a bush you probably never heard about. So obviously you know that this is a parenting podcast that you can listen to all by yourself, not with your children, because your children don't need to hear about my Hanukkah bush.
I think they got the point, and now everyone thinks you have pubic hair.
Please earmuff your children if they are in the room, or just get them out of there. You've been warned.
What's your name?
Ellie.
Who am I?
I swear to God that I just thought you had a ghost behind you. I just looked down for a second, then looked up. Is it Piper Waffles? Is that your dog in the room?
My dog, yeah. My dog's in the background.
I mean, or a ghost.
You hear something snoring. My French bulldog snores, and it's unbearable, Nicole, because if the kids aren't laying in bed with us, the dog is in bed with us, and I get no sleep. So if I'm aging in front of your very eyes, it's because I get no sleep.
Yeah. I'm just using a filter on the Zoom just to make sure I look good. I actually asked Parker to sleep in bed with us the other night because that's how much I hate my husband. I was like, I put her in the middle, and I hate when the kids sleep with us. Nothing is worse than getting the shit beat out of you. This is have kids, they said. It'll be fun, they said, by the way, if you couldn't tell. I literally was like, Parker, hey, you want to sleep with mommy and daddy? Again, something I would never, ever do. They ask all the time, and I'm like, no, because it's always like a foot in the face, like a fist in your crotch. I mean, it's just like limbs everywhere, but I just wanted nothing to do with him, and I needed an actual physical separation, so thank God for her.
I know on this podcast we talk about parenting and life and all bullshit, but I got to throw it out there. I don't want to put you on the spot because I don't know if you realize this. I knew you fought with your husband. Do you realize that you drunk call people when you fight with your husband?
Do I? Did I drunk call you the other day? I wasn't really that drunk. I had a few drinks.
I mean, I wasn't. Nicole, I know the level of drunk you are by how much you tell me you love me and how much.
Well, I mean, I think I hated him that night, too. We just hate each other in general these days, though.
From what I understand, this is what I gather from your story the other night. I get a call from Nicole. I'm like, oh, hey, Nicole, what's up? You're like, hi, I just want to tell you, I fucking hate Matt. We just had like a blow up. I walked out of a bar. Anyway, I got to get home. With the babysitter at home with the kids and you got in a fight with Matt and you left the bar?
Yes, now it's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now.
Did he pull the routine where he's like, no, just stop? And you're like, no, I'm leaving. Did you go through that routine?
First of all, like, it wasn't even like I was talking to someone. Someone asked me a question when I was like picking up and putting on my jacket, and it was a guy, and he went into like college mode and started banging on the window like, what are you going to like bang that guy? And I was like, he literally just like asked me like which way is like Second Avenue kind of thing. Like there was nothing sexual about it, but he had too much to drink and was banging on the window. And then I was like, you know what? And we went in different directions to get home. And I think that's when I called you.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Help
I loved
me.
It. I loved it.
Thank you for picking
up. You know
what?
Keep them coming.
Thank you for living on the West Coast because it was late and there was no one else to call. So it was very early for you.
I throw that out to all my East Coast friends. I always say, hey, if you're fighting with your husband or wife or you need to talk to someone and you're bummed out or feeling shitty like 2, 3 in the morning, I'm
your guy.
It's the advantage. I'm your West Coast pal.
And you know what? I think I walked in and he was, now who are you on the phone with? And I was like, Rich. He was like, I love you, Rich. Because he does love you, obviously. So that, you know, that kind of like calmed the whole situation. Oh my God, I totally forgot about that. I'm sorry. I'll never stop being a drunk dialer. It's who I was in college. It's who I was after college. It's who I'll always be, even as a mom. I can't help myself.
I love it. Well, hey, listen, why don't we get right into it? Nicole, besides your husband, Matt, who I love, what do you hate this week besides him?
I hate my son. No, I mean, listen, all Ryan men, I think I've said this before, all Ryan men are difficult. My husband is difficult. His older brother, Kevin, is difficult. Their father, Rabbit, is difficult. And Keegan, now that he is our son and he is also Ryan, he is difficult. They're just challenging. They're little dicks. They're just dicks. So it's not that I actually hate Keegan. I hate his new obsession with pushing the elevator buttons. And I'm going to tell you why.
Is he like Elf? Does he go?
Oh, he is definitely done. He's definitely gotten in and pressed all of them. Like, just run his arms down all the numbers. That happened once, and that'll never happen again after the screaming he got from me. Is that what you call it? A screaming after the the word?
The lashing.
I wanted to say lashing, but I didn't hurt him physically. Whatever. The verbal lashing that he got from me. And so now there's a thing. He and Parker always run. You know, she's 6, he's 4. They're because they've been stuck inside together for so long, they're really starting to, like, not just, like, love each other and be, like, mushy, like, snuggling together. Now they're really starting to fight like brothers and sisters. So now it's who gets to press the down or up button on the elevator and who gets to press the floor that we're going to. That's, like, the big thing. And I'm like, Parker, you don't care. You know he cares. Just let him do it. So now Parker lets him do it. And now when we get in, we go into the lobby of our apartment building in New York City. We walk in, a couple of the people hop on, and they go to press their numbers, and Keegan strong arms them, throws their arms back, and is like, "What floor, please?" Like he is a bellman, that is an elevator bellman, and they'll be like, "Oh," and I'm like, "I'm sorry, can you just tell me just like to press the button?" They'll be like, 23rd floor," and he's like, "23, coming right up," presses it, and then when you get there, he goes, "23rd floor, have a good day," and like leads them out.
How is this not adorable? No, you're making it seem like it's a hassle. This is adorable.
Because now every time I get in the freaking elevator, I have to make sure he doesn't physically harm the other people that are just trying to get to their floor. And also that he doesn't, that he understands that, like, it's sometimes people want to press their own damn buttons. It is adorable. But, like, it has become such a thing. Now it's an obsession. It's like maybe this is going to be his career path.
I don't think so. But I will say, it's abundantly clear that you're not the only one. I'm not the only one. So, truth be told, it must be a thing that we did. I never lived in an apartment as a kid, and I'm guessing you didn't either.
No,
you lived in a house.
I was a suburb girl.
Yeah, I was a suburb kid too.
Suburban. I don't think it's suburb. I think we were suburban kids. What is talk? Yeah. What is English?
So, you're a suburb kid. So, my daughter gets, like, in meltdown mode if you accidentally hit the elevator button sometimes. So it must be like their highlight of the day. Like, what do you look forward to doing?
Not think pressing about, fucking right? buttons. I don't know. I look forward to getting home and taking my clothes off and putting on cozy clothes. That's something I look
like,
forward
to. Imagine you got home and you realized there was no booze left in the liquor cabinet. You'd be sad.
Oh, so sad.
Imagine Matt thought he was coming home and he was going to get some loving. Meanwhile, the kids are laying in bed with you. Like, your kids they're little kids. What do they have to look forward to? So pressing that button,
right,
that is their highlight. So there are times where I press the button, I have to, like, restart. Like, it's like putting a seatbelt on in the car, right? How many times have your kids gone through the stage where, like, they have to buckle their own seatbelt?
Oh, yeah, we're
there's
now.
Car seat.
Yeah.
If I buckle Emmy's car seat.
You have to unbuckle and let them rebuckle.
No, but it goes to the point where, like, I have to get her. If I pick her up, throw her in her car seat, and start buckling, I have to take her out of the car so she could climb in the car seat and do it herself, because I want to do it myself.
So if it's just us that are in the elevator and we're lucky enough for us to just have, like, a solo express ride, if I accidentally press the button, he'll be like, "See?" And then he presses a couple other ones now. He doesn't do the whole swipe, but he'll be like, "See?" Like, and you know he wants to say to me, "Now we have to stop at a bunch of floors before we get to our floor," like, as punishment. Like, he's punishing me. But, like, I don't want him to do that to other people, because there's strangers getting on that don't know that this kid is their elevator man. And I don't want them to do that to them and be like, "See, you press a button and then press a million buttons and then they're stuck in the elevator with us."
Oh, by the way, if elevators weren't already, like, awkward positions in places, how about with coronavirus?
Oh, like, my God.
Like, there's a woman in my building that, I mean, I can't mock someone for being safe.
No.
But she wears, like, gloves, a mask, a shield. She might as well wear a scuba helmet. I'm like, "Yo, all right, take the elevator by yourself.
Have you had anybody,
just send it back down.
Have you had anybody not let you get on the elevator with you? Like, they want to ride alone?" I'm like, that's just, like, selfish, because we only have so many elevators in our building, and, like, we need to get up and down as fast as possible, okay?
Well, Nicole, this podcast is about venting about children, so let me throw one more thing out there when it comes to elevators.
Yeah.
Who thought we'd be talking about kids at elevators ever in our lives?
What happened
things,
to us?
Right? It's like anyone that woke up from a coma is like, "Why is everyone wearing a mask?" So my daughter, you know how there's little things you try to do to give your significant other a break?
No, I don't. What's that like?
I love taking walks around town because it's beautiful out here in California. It's nice. It's like a little chilly. It's perfect weather.
Way to rub it in.
So I love taking the kids for a walk. I'll go to Starbucks. I'll get Emmy a cake
pop.
I'll get a coffee.
We know about the fucking cake pops.
Cake pops is how you make a kid happy. Who knew? So that's how I give Sarah a break. I'm like, I'll go take the kids for a walk. I can't get through my daughter's thick little 3.5-year-old skull that she wants to take the stairs once in a while because we're on the third floor. We live in a 3-floor building, right? We live in a 3-floor building. We're on the top floor, and she wants to take the stairs, but doesn't understand that I can't take the stroller up the stairs.
Right, yeah.
But doesn't get it. She's like, but like won't get through. I'm like, Emmy, what, baby? What don't you get?
Yeah.
Daddy can't. Ben's in a stroller.
Carry
There's
it,
wheels.
Daddy. Carry it.
Like carry it. I'm like, you think I will not do that. I will do a lot of things, but I'm not doing that. So
I mean,
trust me. Elevators, stairs. Yeah. These are the simple things that fascinate a child.
Yeah.
You know, isn't it crazy? One day they're gonna be grown up and they'll ignore your phone calls and they'll probably be smarter than you.
No, it's not crazy. Right now, all that's crazy is that he fucking needs to press everyone's goddamn button. Okay. Hey, Sarah. Oh, I love your wife in the background.
Well, this is a.
What do you hate?
You're lucky. This is a 2-hour. We have a 2-hour break because she dropped the kids together at the daycare place for the first time ever.
Nice.
So today we'll get the report on whether or not Ben was a good baby his first day away.
Do you hate him today? Or are you okay with him?
Let me tell you what I hate about my son is what I should love about him, because I'm probably describing myself.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much saying I hate myself. My daughter, and I hate to play favorites because I'm sure there'll be a day where he's my little favorite,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like my daughter is so sweet. She's so calm at times. She's such a little girl, right? And people love to say, like, oh, everyone's the same. Boys and girls are different when they're babies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're different completely.
Yeah.
My son is a cyclone.
Yeah.
He does not stop. Unless he's taking a nap or sleeping, it's movement.
Yeah.
Like, my daughter could sit and chill and play with a toy or a stuffed animal or her dolls
not
or play
boys.
A puzzle on her iPad
not boys.
Or watch a cartoon. He's fucking moving nonstop, which makes it impossible to get anything done.
Have you ever looked in the mirror, Rich Davis? Have you ever looked in the mirror? You are a walking, talking cyclone. You never stop talking and you never stop moving ever, ever in life.
In fact, fun fact, years ago, John Mayer was on our show together and he called me Cyclone. He's like, what are you? I'm going to call you Cyclone.
I think he did for the old interview.
All right, Cyclone. Well, he won't stop. So it's like, if he's sitting on me, he needs to be touching the iPad that I'm on, or my phone, or
your
he
beard.
Needs constant,
or your dick.
Constant.
I mean, something. He's got to have his hands on something.
It's driving me insane. Just so you know,
right?
There's never going to be a time where you catch my son sitting still.
Well,
it's just not.
He's
in the car.
Also learning to walk now. He's walking a lot earlier,
yeah.
And then boys never really sit still. Like Parker, like sat to watch a movie. I know that Emmy does too. Sat to watch a movie way early. Keegan still will not sit and watch a movie, and he's like well into the fours. So I mean, you're just screwed with the little boys. They are you reincarnated. They were sent here to torture you.
Doesn't it start Hanukkah tomorrow?
Tomorrow is the very first night of Hanukkah. Yeah, and I will find.
You know what I've always said.
Yeah.
Nicole from the morning mashup lights the menorah. You know how you know you'd be famous? If you were in an Adam Sandler Hanukkah song.
I know. How cool was that? Like, when that first came out, it was like, it feels like eons ago. But, like, that was honestly one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, ever. I mean, I still listen back and it makes me full-blown LOL. It really does.
Yeah. There's three versions of that song.
I know. Right?
Just if you want to play Step Boy, you should know. You're Jewish.
I am.
But tomorrow's the first day of Hanukkah. So I ask you this question because I was having a debate with some friends and my wife.
Okay.
And I'm so curious because you did not grow up with Santa Claus.
I didn't. I mean, I did. I grew up with Santa Claus. Like, my parents had me believe just like anybody else would believe, because I don't think they wanted me to fuck up anybody else's life. So I was I was a kid, and it was still fun to believe in that magic. But, like, I knew Santa wasn't coming to see me. I had questions. Why was he leaving me out? So my mom would buy us, like, a little, I'm air quoting, a Hanukkah bush. She bought, like, a mini Christmas tree. Somehow found Jewish ornaments and found blue and white lights. What's up, Israel? And then she put all of Whitney, my sister, and my 8 presents underneath the little Hanukkah bush. She couldn't call it a Hanukkah tree. It had to be called a bush, which makes it 10 times worse. And then we would light the candles, say the prayer, and then we each night got to choose one of the gifts. So she tried to meld it, because we definitely felt left out that we did not have Santa visiting us. But no, she never could threaten us, like, Santa's not coming, because guess what? He didn't come no matter what.
Sweet bush.
We did have some beautiful bushes. I mean, I got to tell you, my mom's bush got more beautiful each year. She kept stepping up her bush game.
Linny, I've always heard that Linny and women of her generation, sweet bush game.
Really?
All right. So I wanted to ask you this because I'm realizing that I'm either A, not using something to my advantage.
Right.
Or B, my wife is just overboard too nice, which is probably the answer.
Yeah. I'm going to go with that before I even know
what
you're going
to say. Does it make you a shitty parent to use Santa Claus and now Elf on a Shelf, which, by the way, let me get into that in a second.
Yeah.
But Santa Claus, should he be used as a threat for a month?
1 million a month? I use him for 2 months. So I might be a Jew, but I married an Irish Catholic. So we do both. You use whatever you have in front of you. I will use a dessert. I will use an activity that you're excited about. I will use a friend we're going to see. You're not going to get to do this. And Santa's not coming if you're not good. Whether it works or not is a whole different scenario. Oh. But you're 100% should be using this. You 100% should be using this. And if you're not, you're a pussy.
My wife will tell me that I'm like, it's like emotionally abusive and I'm stupid.
Sarah.
And I'm shitty. And she's too kind. And like, I told her, I said, babe, Elf on the Shelf was a company designed as a threat.
Right. He's
and
watching
it's
for
a
Santa.
It's like a $1 billion company.
Yeah.
Elf on a Shelf is designed so that parents could say, see that little fucking elf?
Yeah.
It's watching your every move for Santa Claus. It's designed. It's a threat.
Like, isn't it? Okay, again, I am the Jew here, but like, isn't it like in like some of the most famous Christmas songs that like, you better not shout, you better not pout, because like he won't come. Like, you get coal. Like, if you're not good, he won't come. It's not even like you're being emotionally abusive. Like, this was written by other people. Sarah doesn't have to worry about it being her making this up. This is just, this is fact. He's not coming. If you're a dick.
Dude. My wife, I don't want people to think my wife is some hippy dippy, like weird, artsy.
Tiny bit.
Like,
itty bitty bit.
She's not some like crazy person.
No.
It's just, she is a super sweet person. Like, I'll give you an example. Just to put in place.
Okay.
My daughter doesn't want to brush her teeth and put on her jammies.
Who does?
I
stank breath and naked is the way to go.
I would feel an instinct to say, Emmy, come on, we got to put on your pajamas and get ready for bed. No, I want to watch more Mickey Mouse Club.
I thought you were going to say Maury. No.
Not Maury.
I want to watch Maury.
I want to watch Maury. My daughter, huge Maury Povich fan. You are not the father.
She loves it. She loves a good paternity test.
She loves, listen, nothing like a reveal. Is it the dad or not? Nope. She'll want to watch more, what is it? The little Molang chicken something?
What is she watching that I don't know about? Molang?
Yeah, it's like something in chick.
Something chick. Oh, wait. I know what you're talking about. Is it on, Toot Sweet and Chick or something? Toot Toot? That's not a thing.
I don't know.
Whatever
it is.
She wants to watch more of it.
And my thought is, Emmy, if you don't brush your teeth and put on your jammies right now, Santa's watching. He's not going to bring you your presents.
Why is that emotionally abusive?
Like,
Sarah's like,
why would you say that to her? That's fucked up. Why would you say that to her? I was like, because that's what parents do.
Rough, Rough, Tweet and Dave's. Is that what she wants to watch? Rough, Rough, Tweet and Dave's a great show.
No, but now I got to write that one.
Rough, Rough, Tweet and Dave's a fabulous show.
Hold on. On my watch list, Queen's Gambit.
Rough, Rough, Tweet.
Rough, Rough, Tweet and Dave.
And Dave. I don't know why there's Rough, Rough, Tweet, like these cute little names, and then there's Dave. But it's so funny. Like, it's not like you're spanking. It's not like you're even raising your voice. You're being cute about it. Like, if you're not a good girl, Santa's not coming, because that's what the songs say. Listen to the Christmas music channel, Sarah. Come on, that's what it's all about. Be good,
you know,
or Santa Claus is not coming
say?
To town.
You know what my wife
what?
Will say to that? And she makes a fantastic
what
point.
What is it?
I'll say, babe, we all got threatened with no Santa. Yo, Emmy, pick up your toys. No. All right. I guess Santa's not bringing any presents. That's what I want to say, right?
Yeah.
She's saying it just doesn't do anything emotionally good for her. And I'm like, prove something to me, right? And she said, well, think of all your friends. How many of them are in therapy? She goes, all your friends and everyone we know is in some type of therapy. She goes, so to save it the way our parents did it clearly didn't work. I mean, I was like, oh, shit.
All my mom did was threaten me with no bush, and I'm in therapy. So, I mean, Santa had nothing to do with it. So
my wife makes a great point when she's like, everyone you know is fucked up. She's like, every one of our friends, family members, everyone's got some issue. Everyone's in therapy. Everyone's working something out. So she's like, maybe we shouldn't threaten our kid with Santa Claus not coming. And I'm like, that is a good point.
Fine. Give her a few years. Give her a few years and wait until your kids move into my kid's age and watch her not snap and scream that. And then have Ben, like Keegan is now, screaming, no, I'm the boss. And then wanting to backhand. I'm joking. I would never do that. But like, it's just going to change. They're still just a tiny bit too young. So they're still sweet. So it's not getting to her. But you mark my words, Sarah. You're going to be threatening with Santa. You're going to be using Santa one day. And it's going to be one day soon.
Santa was designed. Yes. As a threat. I just want to add one more thing in the call. Do you watch This Is Us?
Oh, God, you always ask me this. I did, and I fell off because it was too depressing, and I was already depressed enough, and I cried every night, and I just couldn't get through it anymore.
I love it, right? And on the show, there was an episode where Kevin, you know, the good-looking
Justin
dude.
Justin Hartley, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame. You interview these people on the morning mashup, but yet you don't fucking watch
the
show. You're a disgrace.
Every time I had one of them on there, I was still watching the show.
Okay. Justin Hartley, there's a last episode, one of the last episodes before the Christmas break.
Spoiler alert.
There's an episode where they flash back to when he was a baby, and Mandy Moore's character always wanted to tend to him the minute he cried.
Right.
And Jack, Milo Ventimiglia, was like, no, you got to let him cry it out. You got to let him cry it out. And Sarah was like, see, they let Kevin cry it out.
Yes.
And look at how fucked up he is as an adult on that show. And
I love it. What an amazing
argument. I said, babe, look, they're letting Kevin cry it out. And she goes, yeah, isn't Kevin the one that's like a complete disaster?
He is.
And,
yeah. Stop trying to make points using This Is Us. It didn't work. It backfired completely on you, Rich.
Nicole, I think I have a story this week. I think I have a story this week that is going to be tough for you to top.
Yeah?
I think it might be.
I accept the challenge, Richard. I accept the challenge.
We share stories from our lives. And like I said, most of the time it has to do with kids. It has to do with relationships. My wife and I, as you know, we are moving. We bought a house, but it's a complete renovation, right? So we're trying to figure out where we're going to live, what we're going to do. This is a project. This is like, we're doing like some property brother shit, but we're not the property brothers.
Right.
Like we have a contractor, but we're in and out. So
you don't even look like the property brothers. Neither does Sarah.
Thank you. So yeah, Christina and Tarek are like a bootleg my wife.
Yeah.
So we go to the house because the general contractor is about to start demolition. And
demo day.
Demo day, asbestos removal, all the things that you see on your home improvement shows. So the general contractor said, listen, we're on a budget here. We're trying to save money, right? We don't want to spend money when we don't have to. So he said, this is an old ass house. But the only thing that's relatively new, believe it or not, is the kitchen. We're still redoing it, but they did it maybe like 15 years ago. So
newer.
There's like a nice stainless steel fridge, double doors, like the pull-out freezer.
Ooh, fancy.
The stove and microwave are pretty legit.
Okay.
Dishwasher. So he said, listen, why don't you sell the appliances? Maybe get like $1,000, $2,000 for everything. That way, hey, that money could just be put towards something else. So my wife and I go over to the house. She puts it all up on Facebook Marketplace, OfferUp, you know, anywhere you could think to put
shit. I don't even understand how Facebook Marketplace works, but it's like seems so interesting and cool and like
it's fantastic. Okay. So you get all these strangers and weird people buying your stuff.
Yeah, I like it.
And we sell the stove. I was so proud of myself. We undid the gas line, pulled it out, put it on a dolly. Person wheeled it out to their truck. Sweet, couple $100.
So handy.
Put it in the pot.
Look at you.
Refrigerator. Got some. Come over. Get rid of that bad boy.
Yeah.
Hundreds more. Great. We're adding to the fund because we're spending way too much money on this house to begin with. We get to the dishwasher. And by the way, nothing we do can be done just us. Keep in mind, we have to lug around the three-year-old and the nine-month-old everywhere we go because we don't have a sitter. Where there's no daycare. It's COVID. Our parents are in different states. So, you know, we're just trying to, like, kids sit on the carpet and here's an iPad or just crawl around or something.
Oh, God.
Crawl around carpets from the 1960s and get a disease.
Go lick some asbestos. You'll be good.
Yeah. Go lick the popcorn ceilings. They're great. We're only paying someone $8,000 to remove them because they're safe. So, and it's against code. So we, we're up to the final step, Nicole, and it's the dishwasher. And Sarah's like, all right, I'll undo it. It's under the sink. So I go, so what's connected? It's a power source, and under the sink, the water pipes obviously are connected to the dishwasher.
Right.
It looks like one valve. She goes, all right, I think I turned off the valve. I'm going to undo this now. She undoes the pipe that goes from the dishwasher to under the sink.
Oh, no.
And water explodes like a fucking sitcom. Like something you've never seen. Like an old I Love Lucy yes. episode. Or so like this, the cheesiest of sitcoms where it's like Larry and Balky from Perfect Strangers. Oh. And like water's going every... Like when I say it's not like a leak, it's like... Some kids in the hood opened a fire hydrant, and we're on a hot day.
What did you like, do? Did you like? Were you both soaked? How'd you turn it off? How'd you get to the valve?
Well, first of all, I went and Emmy just starts splashing around. She's like puddles.
Oh,
and she's
God,
splashing
she's
around.
Peppa. Oh my God.
Ben is rolling around in the water because he's crawling. So the kids are and I'm like Sarah. I don't know how to stop it. She's like, I don't know how to either. I go put. And listen, this
call?
Is like I said,
911. Like I wouldn't even know who to call.
This high pressure water is coming out, not like I said, not a little bit. It's like the Kramer showerhead from Seinfeld. The water pressure is so strong. I go, put your hand on it. She goes, it hurts because the water's coming out so strong. So I go, put your palm over it because she's under the sink. She puts her palm under it. Then all of a sudden, another part of the pipe sort of cracks, and water starts coming out of that.
Honestly, you're really selling this home ownership thing, Rich.
So water is everywhere. We're like ankle deep in water. It's bleeding into the other rooms. The carpets, the 1960 carpets are soaked. Finally, I get under there. We're all like soaked.
It should have started with you under there. You're the man. What the heck? Her dainty little hand, you think was going to be able to stop that water pressure? Are you crazy?
Nothing is helping. I'm like, you're right, Nicole. My first thought was, who do I call? 911? Yeah. Like, yeah, what do I do? Our general contractor lives in the area. And I was like, Eric. He's like, hey, Rich, what's going on? I go, hey, we're at the house. We're selling the appliances like you said we should.
Can you help? Help a brother out.
He goes, well, there's a valve under there, which clearly broke.
Yeah.
We finally got to the water heater, which is on the side of the house, turned off like the main water source, but... Flood everywhere. Emmy thinks it's funny because she thinks it's playtime. She's at a water park.
Yeah.
Ben's crawling around. The kids are soaked.
All right, so they had a fun COVID activity. That you know, you just got to look on the bright side of things.
It was straight out of sitcom. And I got to say, it was not a bad thing because since we're redoing the whole house,
right.
Under any other circumstances, this is a nightmare.
Right.
Flooding, things destroyed, whatever. To us, this stuff is all getting ripped up and thrown out anyway.
Matter.
So
right.
Cabinets, floors, carpets, it's all going, but... It really was like a scary moment where I was like, whoa.
Oh, no.
Like,
what do we do?
Like, what do you do?
I feel like this shit only, like the explosive shit only happens to you. When things explode, I feel like you're an explosive guy that has explosive things happen to their family.
Oh, my God. So can you top that?
All right. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to top that because that's fairly epic and explosive, if you will. No pun intended. But I was trying to take a minute for myself. God forbid I do that these days. Matt was out doing something with Keegan. Parker was on a Zoom, like, school. Like, she was, like, on Zoom, some Zoom class with her teacher, sitting at the kitchen table, and I'm in this little playroom that I basically, like, live in, doing podcasting and, you know, the morning mashup on Hits One every day. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do some yoga. I'm gonna breathe. I'm gonna try to, like, center myself. That's so not me. I'm, like, so tightly wound, but let me try. And I could hear in the other room, like, Parker talking. I could hear the teacher's voice. I hear other kids. So I'm like, all right. So, like, I know that she's doing school. Then all of a sudden, I'm, like, in a downward dog or something, and I just hear it gets quiet. And I'm like, what's going on? So I...
What are you doing, by the way? Yoga?
I was doing yoga. I was downward dogging, okay?
I thought you said when you needed a minute to yourself. I was like, what is
she
doing?
No, okay. No. Not when the kids are home. So I walk in... to nothing. Parker's not there. Her computer's not there. Obviously, Matt and Keegan are still not there. And I'm like, Parker? And she's not answering. And I'm like, Parker? And I see the bathroom door is shut. And I'm like, Parker? And I open up and I go, Parker, what are you doing? She goes, I'm pooping. And she's sitting on the toilet with her computer on her lap. And I go, and you just screamed that you're pooping? She goes, I don't worry, I'm muted. Oh, no, wait, I'm not. So now she's just screamed, I'm pooping, to her entire class. And I said, honey, if you had, so she, now she's like mortified and she's freaking out, but she's keeping the computer on her lap. She goes, okay, it's fine now, I'm muted. And I'm like, all right, but everybody just heard that. And if you needed to go to the bathroom, especially this type of going to the bathroom, you should have just left the computer there. Your teacher would have understood. She goes, well, I just don't want to miss this. I don't understand what's happening. I said, all right, well then mute yourself and turn the video off and then you can keep it there. And she goes, no, I'm done, mom. I'm done. And then proceeds to not turn the video off, sets the computer down in front of her, stands up to wipe and pull up her pants. And now the whole class has gotten basically an upskirt, right? Because she's standing up and there's no underwear. I mean, she just kept getting worse and worse. And I was like, Parker. And I just grabbed the computer away. And I was like, now I'm going to have the principal probably calling me, talking about what the poor student saw and heard during math class today on Zoom.
Nicole, that is way worse than your son showing his nipples to everyone a few weeks ago.
I have had a lot.
By the way, the Ryan kids have a reputation of being like the flashers of the community.
They're like, they love being the nudies. Yeah, but do you remember that? I don't even remember if I told you the teacher's name, but I'm not going to say it again because just in case it gets back to her. Like, I took him to the for his freaking four-year-old checkup and tried to be like a responsible mom and have him still do his little Zoom class in there. And she was like, Keegan, do you want to put a shirt on? I was like, I'm sorry, we're at the doctor's, you remember? And then she wrote me an email saying that she wanted his shirt on because he was showing his private parts and in parentheses wrote nipples. That's, I mean, honestly. Now, what would that teacher have said about Parker showing her hoo-ha and talking about pooping in front of the whole class?
Well, hopefully kids forget that one, Nicole.
Oh, my God. I can't live this life anymore. I mean, honestly, this Zoom life is not, I mean, usually people have like one or two like funny little Zoom moments. Mine happen every motherfucking week. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Cody, who are you going to the prom with? Parker. Remember the girl that, like, shit in front of everyone in kindergarten?
What do you mean? Poops McGee? Ryan?
Poops Ryan?
Poops Ryan. Oh, God. All right. I don't ever want to leave you, but, like, do you need one more minute with me? Because I always need one more minute with you, baby.
Oh, Nicole, I do need a minute before we get out of here.
You do.
It's a vent. It's about something one of my kids did, okay. And I think it'll be a good way to end today's podcast.
All right, my love. Let me just pull up my trusty stopwatch. 3, 2, 1, blast off.
I'm sure this is the first of many times where my kids clog a toilet or faucet or sink or something, but Emmy, I'm teaching her privacy, right?
Of course.
You know, I'm teaching her, like,
you want to teach Parker that?
She calls it her giner.
Her giner? That's a whole nother podcast. Keep going.
Boys have a penis. Girls have a gina. I'm like, all right, cool. Gina. It is. Gina. So I told her, I said, the only people that are out to help you in the bathroom are daddy, mommy, or grandma, and, you know, stuff like that. And I said, and you know what? When you go to the bathroom, people want privacy. So, you know, you could close the door and leave it a little open. If you need daddy's help, call me, right? So I'm trying to teach her that, like, you know, privacy.
Privacy.
Like, when daddy goes to the bathroom, I'm closing the door.
I know what privacy is, Rich.
Well, guess what? My fucking three-year-old doesn't. So I'm sorry. I'm used to talking to three-year-olds. Nicole, privacy is when daddy has to go number two and doesn't want the fucking door open because that'll kill the romance for mommy. All right. So I go, okay, Emmy, fair enough. I love it. You're learning privacy. So she wanted to close the door for one of the first times. And I was like, great. Look at this. She's like learning privacy. That's great. And I'm like, what are you doing in there? And I go into the bathroom and she took a roll of paper towels because she thought that was big kid toilet paper because it was bigger.
Well, you know, she was having, so she tried what privacy is to her.
She tried to jam the paper towel hole, the paper towels on the toilet paper holding. She's like, it's big kid toilet paper. And the whole toilet bowl was full of a roll of toilet paper.
You gotta stop. You gotta stop.
And paper towels and everything.
You could go forever on that. That is epic. I'm happy that she tried to put it on the where the toilet paper goes and not into the toilet, into the little hole, because that could have been a really, really big disaster.
Nicole, do you need a minute yourself?
I mean, do I only get 30 seconds? Because I just gave you an extra 30. You got a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Do I not get
as
much?
That's how it works. I'll get you more next time.
Okay. So, count me down.
3, 2, 1, blast off. What do
you
want? Go ahead.
So, you know what I hate? I'm using something else that I hate as my minute because I am so sick of picking up kids' pants with the underwear still in them. Like, why do kids just roll them down inside out, and then the underwear, like the gross inside part, is just still all over the floor? Whether it's in the morning before when they take their pajamas off to get dressed, whether it's to get into the bath, it's everywhere. No matter how many times, if I tell Parker to put her stuff like in the laundry, she puts it in like that. So when it's time to do laundry, I have to remove the underwear from the pants. It just stop with the roll down, okay? Just take your freaking pants off and then your underwear, okay? Thanks.
Are you talking about my wife too? Because no one in my house fucking knows what a hamper is but me. That's a cool, save that for next time. Because I have a major issue. I told my wife I want to start using a different hamper than the rest of the family. And she's like, why? That's so weird.
Well, so you can prove that you're like, a better cleaner-upper?
She goes, we all do our laundry together. I'm like, yeah, but I, like, your shit's everywhere. Yeah. My shit's not. I was like, you and the kids are on your own.
You're on an island of your own. Well, Rich, I love you for huge. Thank you all for listening to the show. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe. What are you waiting for? We've got new episodes for you every Thursday. Make sure you give us 5 stars. You can find us on the SiriusXM app, wherever you get your freaking podcasts.
Yeah. And tell a friend. Honestly, that's the gift of the holiday season.
Tell a friend about us. That's the gift of the holiday season.
Tell a friend about this podcast, because if each person told one other person, I keep saying it, that just keeps doubling. So that's, if you want to get us something for Christmas, there's your gift.
Tell a friend.
Tell your friends.
There you go. Kelsey Albright is our producer, and we'd be lost without her. I'm Nicole Ryan. You can listen to me on the Morning Mashup on SiriusXM Hits 1 weekday mornings when you wake up, and you, Rich Davis.
I'm on Faction Talk 103, Covino and Rich, and we'll see you guys next week. This is a SiriusXM production.
SiriusXM Podcasts.